Well, good morning. It is Wednesday, July 15th, and you're tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson, in for Chris Bessler and Susie Prez this morning. Chris is out of town, Susie's out of town, and so it's me. But don't worry, we also have with us Brian Jacobs.
Good morning, Brian.
And also joining us here in the studio is Joyce Jowdy, the Community Engagement and Adult Programming Coordinator for the East Bonner County Library. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Jack.
Well, okay.
And Brian.
Yeah. And how are you, Joyce? How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. Not quite the morning person y'all are, so, you know, doing the wake-up thing.
I'm not a Wednesday morning person. I do feel a little out of sorts here, being here at this hour, at this time. To me, it feels like a Thursday, because I'm usually here on Thursdays.
Oh, boy, that means I'm more behind than I thought I was on my to-do list.
Anyway, it's a little strange to have this much of the week left for me. I have the weather report. Let's see. Let's start by asking both of you, are we keeping cool? How are you doing, Joyce?
I'm loving the sunshine and mm-hmm. the warmth. I don't know what people are complaining about. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, if you'll recall my background, Jack,
yeah.
I haven't been warm yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Oh, this is not hot enough for you, Brian. Yes.
No, not exactly. I'm digging it.
Okay. No, Brian's from Mississippi, so this is like April weather, I guess.
For that's you, right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
Okay, let's look at that forecast. We have, it's currently 68.5 degrees here downtown. It is forecast to be 93 and sunny today, mostly clear overnight, and the overnight lows are getting a little higher nowadays because it's the low tonight is 66 degrees. I think last week the overnight lows were down in the 50s. Tomorrow's going to be the hot one, a high of 98 degrees and sunny and just a hot day. Then on Thursday night, a slight chance of showers and a little bit cooler, 63. Friday, 92 and sunny. Saturday, 90 and sunny. Sunday, 94 and sunny. Yeah, looks like we got more weather like this coming our way. Getting a little bit cloudy, not until next Monday, I guess. So anyway, slight chance of showers, tomorrow night, and otherwise it's clear, it's hot, and that's what's coming our way. And, okay, well, what else is coming our way? Joyce Jowdy as the Community Engagement and Adult Programming Coordinator. You are in charge of arranging certain events for members of our community, and that's what brings you in here today to talk about. Should we start by talking about the big one that is co-sponsored by this radio station on July 25th? Joyce, you tell the story. What's going on July 25th? When, where, how, what, etc.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. And thank you, KRFY, for co-sponsoring this with the East Bonner County Library District. We really appreciate that. This is the first time we've tried something like this. It's a night mm-hmm. of music, art, and community. And instead of doing it at the library, we're going to be at the Heartwood Center outside, because I'm sure it'll be a gorgeous day. Mm-hmm. And we'll be there at 5:30 to 7:30. And we have invited the Hot Club of Spokane, a professional music group that focuses on jazz and preserving jazz and many different styles of jazz and such forth. And they are also a nonprofit organization over there in Spokane. And so they'll be performing, and then we'll have a bunch of other stuff going on.
Well, let's talk about the band a little bit. The band, the Hot Club of Spokane, I hadn't heard about them. I had not heard their name, but as soon as I mentioned it around the station to a couple other people, immediately there was a strong reaction. Oh, I know that. That's great. You know, and surprised that we could get this band to come all the way up to Sandpoint.
Well, that's great because I personally hadn't heard of them. Uh-huh. We were really fortunate. Rob from Maddox, you know, who handles the Heartwood over there, he hooked us up with them. So we have him to thank, and I had never heard of them. So this will be a new opportunity for people. You know, this was one of the things we really wanted to do was bring some different type of music or music people don't always hear to our community. You know, whether you're looking at it as a little intro, if you will, to the festival at Sandpoint, get your juices flowing for good quality music, or whether maybe you're like some of us are like me, you know, can't always afford the festival these days. And so this is an opportunity for the community, everybody, whether you see yourself as a library goer or radio listener or not, this is a great opportunity to come out, be with community, hear a great band, and dance and picnic and all sorts of things.
Let's see. Did you write the copy here on this press release, Joyce?
No, I did not.
Okay.
That was my partner in crime. Well, actually, we kind of collaborated.
Yeah. But
many of you know Kelly Burt,
yes,
our children's coordinator. And this is really a collaborative effort within the library, even not just in the community. We came together to do this because I wanted to bring music to the community, and she wanted to make sure to celebrate the summer reading program.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, she was like, maybe we can do one big event that's for everybody and also acknowledges the wonderful achievements that the youth have done in the summer reading. And actually, it's everybody. So there'll also be, you know, a raffle. There'll be some prizes, some acknowledgement. There'll be activities for the kids, art and some crafts. But I don't want people to think it's just for families or kids. It's really not. It's for the whole community. Even if you've never been to the library before, or if you're new to town or passing through, it's really a chance for community to come together and enjoy the great outdoors, music, art. And there'll even be a mural for adults. And other art activities for adults as well.
Yeah, watch a community mural come to life is what's written here. What do you expect to happen here, Joyce? What does that entail?
I hear there's a collaboration between our team coordinator, Bethany Williamson, who some of you know as well, and one of our local artists, Holly Pennington, who's also taught some classes at the library. She just did on last Saturday. They put their heads together, and I don't know what the mural will be about, but it'll be a chance for you guys to roll up your sleeves, grab some paintbrushes, and do some painting, probably on either a super huge canvas or plywood. I don't know. It'll be a bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. And that'll be an effort, an art piece created by community to be then hopefully shared with community, maybe put up at the library or at events. We're forking it out. We'll see how it goes. Okay. We haven't done something like this before.
Yeah. I was wondering, is there a wall that's going to be painted? So you think plywood or canvas and it'll end up moving over to the library?
Yeah, it'll need to be a movable piece. We can't impose upon the Heartwood with with our vision.
that would be kind of interesting to do. To rent the Heartwood for an event, and then they come and find out that you've gone and painted the place. That'll be a portable mural, and head on over to the library. We've also got here live dance performances. Who's dancing?
Well, it's, I don't know if you remember Lindsay Hoyer. She has in the past, I don't know if she's still currently doing it, has done some teaching with different styles of swing, Western swing, different types of swing. I have to admit, I'm not super familiar with swing, as well as Argentine tango. And she's offered to gather some of her cohorts that she knows in the community that are great dancers. And so during the break, they're going to do a bit of a performance. There'll probably be some swing. There'll probably be some Argentine tango. And there might even be a group of youth doing some freestyle that they've been working on. So to, you know, once again, we're all about arts, community coming together, and also encouraging people to dance in the audience as well.
Well, okay. Okay, so is it too much for me to ask you what jazz manouche means? And is that the correct pronunciation? How did I do on that one?
That was one of Kelly's words, and I read it and said,
Yeah.
So I can't help you with that okay. one.
Brian, you're a musician. What's jazz manouche?
I knew this was coming.
We should have pulled out our dictionary.
And yeah. admittedly, my Google machine is in the KRFY office. So I was going to try to slide in there and be really smart. But I think it's a learning experience for all of us.
Yeah, okay.
I think it might be a mixture of styles. Because that's when I was looking at their website, mm-hmm. they really talked about honoring the traditions of jazz, but also some of the blues and the connections between them and such forth, and referenced some Bing Crosby. Yes, mm-hmm. and Bill Crosby. And there was a couple of other well-known personalities, famous people, mm-hmm. that also used to hang out in this area in their day. And they also honor those traditions and try to bring some of that forth. That's part of their nonprofit mission, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an important aspect of it as well, because, being someone who dabbles in music and tends to listen to multiple genres, you know, there's something about jazz that honestly can be polarizing for one reason or another. When people mm-hmm. think about the real hardcore jazz and the fluttering of notes and mm-hmm. Trilling horns and stuff, that almost people are like, yeah, no thanks. But to know, it's important to know that it sounds like we've got a mixed bag here. So it's not just traditional jazz. So it might be something that everybody can enjoy.
Yeah. Well, should we? Why don't we play a little bit? Give people a taste of what they might hear. I've got something from the Hot Club of Spokane, the Swingtet of the Hot Club of Spokane. They have they perform in, I guess, a couple different versions. They have a small jazz combo. They have a big band, but this is the Swingtet. We're gonna play "It's All Your Fault." Okay. And this band is coming once again to the Heartwood Center for a free performance outside on the lawn, I suppose, unless it's pouring rain or something. But
and then we'll go inside.
Yeah, but
we do have arrangements.
Looking at the forecast right now, I think we're going to be okay next weekend. Anyway, Saturday, July 25th, 5:30 p.m. Brought to you by this radio station and the East Bonner County Library. It's the Hot Club of Spokane at the Heartwood Center. Come and see them live. And here they are right now on these airwaves. Thank you. Oh, there you are. A little flavor of the Hot Club of Spokane. Obviously, that was recorded live, I think, at their, it looks like this was at their home studio or their home venue. They have a building in Spokane called Hamilton Studio that they work out of. And it's going to be a treat for them to leave their comfortable environs and come up and visit us here in Sandpoint at the Heartwood Center again on July 25th for a free show brought to you by this radio station in the library.
Yeah, it sounds like this is a new venture for all of us in hearing the Hot Club, but that was unique. It was interesting to hear a very jazzy rhythm section going underneath what was very much a swing style accompaniment. So it was unique. And I also was able to come up with a bit of a definition. So jazz manouche, also known as gypsy jazz or hot club jazz, acoustic style of swing developed in Paris during the 30s.
Okay.
So I think that was on full display right there. If we were just listening to it.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. I looked them up. These guys, the Hot Club of Spokane, and they're named after the Hot Club of France. So that makes perfect sense. If John Royans, our jazz host, Jazz Over Sandpoint, is listening right now, he's probably screaming at the radio.
He's yelling, fists are pumping at the sky.
Yeah, no, you don't you know? Anyway, yes, the Hot Club of France, it was the first hot club, founded by Django Reinhardt, and he was the leader of a quintet in Paris in the 1930s. The Hot Club of France was the first of these hot jazz groups, but it's not the last. In recent decades here in the United States, there's been a bit of a resurgence. Cities like San Francisco, Detroit, and New Orleans all have their own hot clubs. And now Spokane does as well and has for a little while now. Anyway, but that's a bit of the history of the organization. We'll be talking to them on the airwaves at some point in the next week and a half before the actual show. But I don't have a precise time for that. Stay tuned, listeners. Anything more we need to say right now about that event other than, you know, we can't say get your tickets because this is a free event. Bring a lawn chair, though, right?
Well, whatever you're comfortable with, or a blanket, or maybe not, because maybe you'll dance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's been a bunch of swing classes and such forth around town, so who knows? Maybe this will be an opportunity for people to practice. But you can make this a picnic event, or if you're so inclined, OPA, the food truck, will be there. So you could buy something from the food truck. We hopefully will also have a gelato wagon that you can buy some cooling refreshment from. So please, everybody, come on out Saturday, July 25th. We'll be out on the outside stage at the Heartwood Center. And this is really about bringing community together. Be creative around music, art, and once again, so glad that KRFY's co-sponsoring this with us.
Yeah, well, we're happy to do it. And 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. is the precise time of that. Yeah, and KRFY will be there as well. We'll be on the scene. Let's see, at that, I'm trying to think of where's the sun going to be at that time. This will be in the shade at 5:30, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, it'll be perfect. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Out on the lawn.
Yeah, out on the lawn. We'll be in the shade hanging out on a late afternoon or early evening for the hot club of Spokane here in Sandpoint. Well, Joyce Jowdy is our guest. She's the community engagement and adult programming coordinator for the East Bonner County Library. And I'm Jack Peterson. Brian Jacobs here as well from KRFY. And we're talking a little bit about what else is coming up at the library. What other events shall we highlight here, Joyce? What else is on your mind at the library? What else is on your agenda, I guess?
Well, this Thursday, July 16th, will be Seed Saving Basics. Many people in the listening audience probably are familiar with Snake River Seed Cooperative, and its founder, Casey O'Leary, will be back again at the library teaching about seed saving basics. So that's a great opportunity. And it'll be 5 to 6:30 this Thursday, July 16th. And then the next thing in the garden to really pay attention to is next Wednesday, July 22nd. We have Christina Bauer from Untamed Alchemy. We're trying a different time slot for that. That'll be 3 to 7 p.m. because hopefully it'll be a little cooler then. And we wanted it to be an opportunity for people who maybe are working or have responsibilities during the day and they can't get away super early. A lot of times in the past, we've done morning classes. So this time we'll be doing Distilling the Medicine of Summer. And that's to remind people utilizing the copper still to do the distillation process. The copper alembic stills we will gather plants and prepare a hydrocell. And folks will get to take a hydrocell home. So those two things are the closest things coming up. And then in addition, the yoga. We've got two different yoga classes going on July 23rd, which is a Thursday, 5:30 to 6:30. Ren Fox will be doing gentle yoga. And then on July 28th, Jen will be doing yoga flow in the garden at 9 to 10. And then also, of course, I forgot to mention the blood drive. That's very, very important in our community. And we've been so appreciative, Brian and Jack, for our community. They've been great about coming to the blood drive, donating blood. And those, we've been told by the sponsors that directly relates to saving lives in our community. And amazing. They've hit all their targets each time, sometimes exceeding. Last I heard, there were still a lot of spots open. So if people haven't had a chance to register, you don't have to in advance for the blood drive, but they really do prefer it. It makes it flow a lot smoother the day of. So I encourage people to come out for that.
So that's Wednesday, July 22nd, the blood drive.
Right. The same day as the Distilling the Medicine of Summer. So you could do the blood drive and then go to the program.
Cool.
I was gonna ask you, Joyce, that Distilling the Medicine of Summer, 3 to 7 p.m. That's a pretty good chunk of the afternoon. Now, is that something that is you can drop in, or is it kind of the expectation you show up at 3 and you stay throughout the whole event?
The latter, okay. Because it's really an intensive process, and you get to see the whole process from beginning to end. And the distillation process actually takes hours.
Sure.
So between the educational component, the hands-on gathering, it gives you the full experience. And she did the program, or a very similar program, last year. And she said, "Hey, I'm happy to come back, you guys, but we need longer." We didn't have 4 hours last year. And she's like, "We need longer." It was super popular last year. We had full house, and that'll be out in the garden at the Sandpoint Library. And it's rain or shine. Because of the process, it needs to be done outside. So of course, prepared for that, you know, and we'll have pop-up tents or something if necessary, but, you know. because of the equipment. She says, no, we're not bringing that in if it rains.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's a full on demonstration, a full on distillation. It's not, she's not just describing what you do. She's actually, she's running the burners or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And it's a beautiful still if you haven't seen it. I mean, it's just, to me, it's a work of art itself, never mind that it's functional as well. And yes, you'll learn how it's done, what's involved, as well as all the medicinal aspects of why we're doing this in the plant aspects, and possibly even gathering some of the actual plant materials from the garden. I'm not sure there, you know, as you gentlemen know, gardens are unpredictable. They depend on the weather and every season's different. So I know her and our garden coordinator, Abby, are kind of like watching the plants, seeing who's going to be ready in time and trying to do a little pre-harvest and not. So I can't swear exactly what plants will be used, but that's the intent.
Yeah, it's the glory of it, doing it right there on the fly, working with what you've got. And I don't see any, I'm going to make an assumption here, which I shouldn't do, but there's no reference of any pricing for any of these classes. Are these just show up and have a good time or?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Our library is such a great resource. And one of the reasons is because of the fact that the library is already supported by your tax dollars and everybody else in donations and other things. We're able to offer these educational and informative programs free of charge to the community. So when there is a charge, like for this or like for the Hot Club of Spokane coming, the library incurs that cost so that we can make it available to everybody. And that way, whether you're experienced or not, wealthy or not, you have access, because that's what the library is really all about. Our mission is access to learning, discovery, experience. It's all about, you know, having opportunities in many different forms.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can say it enough about what the library does in our community, and I don't think we can get the word out enough. I mean, I'm looking down at the sheet, and I can see my wife comes to mind. There's three events coming up that Lauren Jacobs would, I think, enjoy thoroughly.
Which ones do you think?
And
I'm curious.
Oh, the Distilling the Medicine of Summer.
Okay.
I think she would enjoy, and also the outdoor yoga classes very much. So, and we live right around the corner. I mean, we're a 1.5 minute walk to the library, and sometimes I am guilty of not being aware of what's going on. So. As much as you appreciate having the platform, we appreciate you coming on and letting us know what's going on, because it's not always present in everyone's minds.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, in fact, one of the reasons why I think our marketing department has taken a little different approach this year. They've introduced an event guide, and I'm holding, for those who can't see on the radio, it's called Event Guide May to August. And if you haven't grabbed one, you can either grab a physical copy at the library or go online and access it there. And it details a lot of these most of these programs and events we're talking about for the whole season. And we're working diligently right now to do the next segment, which will be September through December. So this is a handy tool that kind of helps you, because it's not just a kid's thing or not just an adult's thing. It's, you know, it's something for everyone in there. And then also, of course, it, you know, gives you QR links to things, because you can always find more information about anything we're talking about on our website, ebonnerlibrary.org. And you go to the event page, or maybe you go across the top bar where it talks about audiences and you pick the audience target that you're interested in and find out more information. And of course, you can always reach out to me as well. Once again, my name is Joyce Jowdy and I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator at the library, and I can be reached at joyce@ebonnerlibrary.org or at 208-263-6930. Extension 1103. And the reason I asked Brian what you thought your wife might be interested in is because that's one of the things we really want to be, is responsive to the community mm-hmm. and what their needs are and interests are, and not just be sitting in an ivory tower or something thinking, I think they need to learn this today.
Right.
You know, but really seeing where the interest is.
Well, my family is diverse in the fact that I have a 3.5-year-old, I have a 9.5-year-old, I have a 14 going on 15-year-old, and then my wife, and you've alluded to this in our meetings in the past, where sometimes it is very easy to get caught up in just events that are centered around our children, and rightfully so, but to see that there are some events that are more geared towards, you know, adult conversations or interests of adults, and so that's nice to have. And I would encourage you, if the library has enough supply of these kind of guides, you know, drop some down here at the KRFY studio so that there's another location for folks to pick them up. We can hang them right outside the door in our box where we have our program calendars and things like that. So if somebody's actually cruising around downtown and they stop by, they can grab a calendar here if you've got them to leave with us.
Sure. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for that opportunity, because it's one of those things that people can just, many things you can just on the fly, open it, find something and go that day.
Well, you did.
Some things you do have to have registrations for. You know, we do have an event called Fall Liver Detox, and that one's going to be at the Clark Fork Library outside mm-hmm. under the pavilion, the herbal medicine making workshop with Laura Clemens, Tendril Apothecary and Healing Center that many people know her from. Saturday, August 15th, 1 to 3, and that one we will require registration. And that, frankly, you know, Brian and Jack, is because when she did her last class, there was such a turnout. We had like 50 people there.
Oh.
There wasn't room in the room. Some people had to leave. So we're like, okay, we're doing a different class. So I encourage people to register for that. So one, she can have enough supplies and make sure we have enough room and all of that sort of thing. But many things you don't, like the distillation one next week, you don't have to, or the seed saving this one this week.
And I'll touch on the guide one more time, this event guide. The current one is May through August events, mm-hmm. but it's really well put together in that if you're needing something specifically for yourself or myself or adults, it's broken down adult events, teens, children, 3-day camps. I mean, a lot of good stuff going on here, because again, the library is constantly churning out great activities and great functions that we need to be more aware of.
Well, thank you, Brian. And you know, you mentioned conversations for adults. I want to share with folks that many of you will remember the Curious Conversations event that we did twice last year, where essentially a person becomes a living book by sharing their personal story at an event one-on-one with an individual, something about themselves or an experience they've had. So instead of reading a book, you're having the opportunity to meet, ask questions, and talk to a living book. We're going to do it again.
Nice.
And so we don't have the exact date, probably early November. But we're always looking still year-round, because we want to make this a continuing event. We had hoped to do it twice each year like we did last year, but we couldn't pull it together for that this year, so we're just doing it in November. But we're always looking for more living books. People are fascinating in our community. I mean, I've heard so many on the KRFY when you guys have people in for interviews, and it's like, oh my gosh, they've done that? Oh my gosh, they've had this experience. It's amazing, you know, from challenging to funny to, you know, serious to controversial, whatever. Everybody's got a story. So if you are interested in being considered to being a living book, please go on our website as well. You can just go under the audience tab, under adults, click on where it says Curious Conversations. And there's like a little application so we can, you know, kind of vet things and see. We want to make sure we have a diverse collection and somebody that will have a story that works with all the others and such forth. So we hope to have that event. Our plan is in November. And then also we always try to make it a night out. So it could be date night for you guys, or, you know, you with little kids that never seem to get out on your own, or it could be just an opportunity to meet somebody new, because we also will probably have what we kind of jokingly call curated conversations with talking prompts and stuff like that. So when you're not with the living book on that one-on-one, you're mingling with everybody in a really meaningful way. And we'll probably have mocktails from Laura again, and nice. Some appetizers and desserts. And so it's, again, we're really trying at the library to give people an opportunity to connect, because so much is about connections these days. And so many people are challenged with isolation and divisiveness in the community. We really want to bring people together, and, you know, everybody's welcome and everybody belongs.
Yep.
Yeah. The library is located at the intersection of Cedar and Division, which, as Brian mentioned, it's right around the corner, but it's really center of town, basically. I mean, people think of, you know, downtown as center of town. Downtown's not the center of town. The library is the center of town. That's where everybody lives.
Never really thought about it, but that's very accurate.
Yeah. Everybody's basically, you know, everybody who lives in the city of Sandpoint is pretty much in walking distance of the library if they put their mind to it.
And we are on the spot bus route. It's
there is a stop right next to right
there's front. A little shelter right there. So we're really convenient. And it's amazing to me that many people don't realize there's a garden there. And so I encourage people also to just visit the garden. It's set up as a demonstration place, as well as a place for us to practice what we preach, if you will, in the sense of we're seed saving from it and then sharing that as part of our seed library. So not only are we a library of books, but we're a library of seeds. You can get seeds at our library, and Abby's working diligently to raise those, but we also have a pollinator's garden, we have milkweed, you know, so it's also instructional in many ways.
And you just touched on something that made me think of something again that a lot of people might not be aware of when it comes to the library. We might be skewing off the topic of events here, but I mean, it's all about the library and showcasing what we have to offer in the community.
Absolutely.
But something that it came across my knowledge base here, for lack of a better term, is the Library of Things. I mean, can you talk about that just for a moment? Because that, to me, it was just a wild concept to be like, oh, you need to check out a so-and-so because you want to learn how to play violin. And I don't even know if that's accurate, but point is, there's a collection of items that can be checked out from the library as well. Am I getting this right?
Absolutely. And it's funny you mention it, because it was on my list. Somebody had shared a story, and I won't give all details, but basically we have things you can check out, and these things are very beneficial to our community. There was somebody who lost a wedding ring out on the landscape, and they tried everything to find it, used metal detectors, all that kind of stuff. And then one of my colleagues knew that we had in the Library of Things a metal detector. So like, all right, we'll just try one more shot. Mm-hmm. And they found it.
Nice.
And other people have found jewelry since. And that's just a testament to, you know, we are a resource in many ways. And also our staff is just so skilled. Suzanne Davis did her great librarian due diligence by finding out the best type of metal detector. She checked with other libraries, et cetera, and they all said, get a jewelry finding feature, which frankly, I didn't even know there was such a thing. So kudos to Suzanne and company for getting that. But we have guitar, we have a sewing machine, we have things, practical things for, you know, changing your slides into digital, battery packs, little projectors, all different kinds of things. And that's also something that people, if there's a big need, you know, we can't always work it in the current year budget, but sometimes if there's a big enough need, we could add to it. So if there's certain things, but all kinds of things.
Yeah, what's jumping out at me is, you know, Jack, James is what, five?
Yep.
Yeah. And we, our children think they're gonna master everything, right? They want to try everything one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as sometimes it happens, those things go by the wayside. But let's see, if you want to try a hobby, you've got disc golf discs, like you said, guitars, and other instrument things. If you want to borrow a telescope, and see if that's a hobby you want to get into. It's a great way to get into stuff without having to front the cash up front. So yeah. Anyway.
Right. And then also there's that little balance bike.
Yes. So I was going to speak
to that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, not having children, I don't know if a five-year-old that you said you guys had was too old for that, but I don't know.
No.
I hear they're great for kids to learn.
Elsa and Jackson were riding bikes by three years old because of balance bikes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The pedals are actually a foreign concept for a small child, but their sense of balance is inherent.
Yeah.
And they're great. We have one in the garage now that we've had for probably 10 years waiting for Nina to get interested in it.
Same. Yeah. It's fun. I grew up, I learned how to ride a bike using training wheels. It's so funny that nobody thought to just take the pedals off the bike they're kind of new, but like the training wheels are so much bad. Yeah. Training wheels are bad. And it's much easier to learn how to ride a bike the other way. It's funny that that wasn't the first thing somebody tried, but anyway.
Yeah. Other unique things too is, I don't know if you guys remember that there's the virtual reality that we have. And there's a new program. It's a kayak simulation.
Wow.
And I hear from Brendan that it's very realistic. And so to me, that said, I'd probably get sick, but if I tried it. But there's that. There's things out in the community. He also does a citizen science program at the Water Life Discovery Center. The next one is Wednesday, July 22nd, 10 to 1. And then there's another one August 5th and August 19th. And one of the advantages of going out to the Discovery Center is the naturalists are also present during that time. And I believe they've kind of taken over that Water Life Discovery Center. So they're a good resource too during that. And the kids have discovered cool things under the microscope. And I guess the naturalists will even let them fish without a hook. And I guess the fish hatchery is the third oldest fish hatchery building, this one here. It's not super active right now in terms of the hatchery aspect, in the state. So it's great opportunity, and that's for all ages as well, because it's a hands-on discovery. And another hands-on thing, because that's another thing we really want to encourage, like even with the adults, there's the distillation and the hydrocell. Well, we have a teen camps, and Bethany has one that is coming up that still has some openings, the Nature Crafts Camp, which is July 20th to 22nd. It goes 1 to 3 p.m., and it's for 12 and up to 18. Registration is required, and each day they do a different project. One day it'll be a resin art, another day polymer clay, another one painting. So all different things. And another thing she has coming up for teens is the teen Nerf battle.
Ooh.
They get to go to the library after hours, July 31st. However, it is fall, but she said there is a waiting list. So you can email Bethany and get on that. That'll be 5 to 7 p.m. after hours.
I think we've talked to her about that before. And they don't need chaperones for that, right? Because there's a volunteer.
I can't imagine that they would need you, Jack. I'm sorry.
Okay. Is summer the busiest time of year for you guys at the library? Well, for you, the events
No, I don't know that's the case. It's year round. In fact, sometimes attendance is a little lower because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's different things and you have different people going on. And this year we're going to be a little challenged because we have the expansion coming up and such forth. But, that's also why we are in the community and want to have this great music event coming up that we started this conversation with. And,
You mentioned the expansion. That's the library, the actual building of the The library is due to undergo some transformative expansion. When does that actually start? Do you know?
Well, the date, you know how it is with construction and permits and all that sort of thing. I don't have an exact start date. We're still optimistic that it'll start by the end of the month, but not quite sure. It's kind of been one of those moving target things. And so there'll be some, you know, little hiccups, I'm sure. And we're trying to do more things out in the community during this time. But we're still there. So please don't hesitate to come, even if it seems a little bit different during the transition.
Yeah. And right now that hasn't actually started yet, really.
It'll probably start right around the time the Cedar Street paving and reconstruction starts on that block.
Right. Yeah. Yes. That'll be nicely coordinated, I suppose. Let's see. The garden is the busiest place in the library right now. At this time of year, the garden is a busy place, I assume.
That is, especially for those pollinators.
I have not. You mentioned it's just you can just go in and walk around in the garden, but I haven't done that.
We went to a petting zoo there.
Very nice.
It was last summer.
Yep. Okay. And last summer they did the monarch butterfly and all different kinds of things, and they're doing story times and you know all ages kinds of things happen there, but also. For those who just want to be outside, and even if you do need to do your work, Wi-Fi is out there now. So I've seen people just out there doing their work, you know, their remote workers or what have you, or doing their research on their computers or taking a lunch break from working inside on a project or what have you. It's, you know, it's a beautiful place.
Cool.
They've done a wonderful job.
Is it flowers, vegetables? What's
all
in there?
All of that.
Okay.
Flowers, vegetables, herbs, pollinator plants, native plants, you know, like I said, a demonstration of the different types of things you can grow, as well as an opportunity to raise seed so that we can continue to have a lot of these natives or important plants, or also to help people even just with their gardens and keep these seeds going.
What do you do with the vegetables that you grow in the garden?
Before they used to kind of give them, you know, let people take them, but now we're saving most things for seed. There's little signage now. So some things you can nibble on, taste one or two of, and most though right now are look, touch, don't eat.
We should remind folks, I suppose, that the big event that is a collaboration between the library and this radio station is on Saturday, July 25th. That is next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the one after that, right? Hold on. Here we are. We're on the 15th today. It's there. 10 days hence.
The last Saturday of the month is the way I remember it.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's coming right up, and the band is the Hot Club of Spokane, but there's more going on there at that event as well. And it's not at the library. It's presented by the library, but it is at the Heartwood Center, which is at
Oak Street.
Yeah, it's Oak Street. It's
615
Oak Street.
And it'll be outside on the side lawn. There's a stage out there, and it's lovely shaded under the huge old trees. And so it's a great place to put out a picnic blanket, a chair, lounge chair, or to get up off your feet and do a little dancing and enjoy community and have music, art. There'll be art and crafts activities for kids, some fun stuff for them. There'll be some art projects for adults. There'll be the mural. And we'll also have food truck and such forth and so on. And KRFY will be there. I don't know. You haven't told us what you're going to do.
Well, we haven't.
As a matter of fact, Joyce.
We were talking
about
it.
But they're going to be there, guys.
Should we figure it out right now, live on air, what we're going to do? Certainly we're going to be there. We'll have our equipment for broadcasting, but what portion of the event we're going to be broadcasting is TBD.
Yeah, and maybe they'll, you know, maybe you'll even have a chance to interview a couple of the summer reading kids or something.
I believe so. Even if it's something aired later on. Yeah.
You know, you guys are such a resource to this community, KRFY. I can't say it enough. Not only like before we got on air, I talk about getting my local news on your Friday morning show. That's how I learn about the state news because it's just hard to pick up a newspaper these days sometimes. You know, and you're just in touch with all the different organizations and activities, but also providing us high quality music as well as other programming that is just so important to our community and doing it. You know, most of you are all volunteers. It's just amazing. And I'm so glad that you guys agreed to collaborate with us on this and help us bring it to the community.
Yeah. I mean, we're excited to be a part of it. This is going to be a fun night, Saturday, July 25th at the Heartwood Center. Yeah. And we are going to, at some point here, we're going to talk to some members of the Hot Club of Spokane, and that'll be an interesting conversation as well. But I don't have a date or time right now for when we're going to do that. Let's see. Well, we could. What do you guys want to do now? Play a little music.
I want to hear some more Hot Club.
Play a little bit more Hot Club of Spokane.
Yeah, maybe one that's slightly different to show that there's some variety. Because I hear that they do play a bit different sorts.
They do. I'm going to have to find one at random here.
Okay, well, while he's we'll doing see. That.
Maybe it'll be different, maybe it won't. I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
You were saying.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I got some more here.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, should we do it right now?
Sure.
All right, gang, here we go. The Hot Club of Spokane coming up right now. And again, you can catch them live on the lawn at the Heartwood Center on July 25th here in Sandpoint. There we go.
It's holding that coffin so that.
Abruptly, didn't it? You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. It's the morning show. That was a little excerpt, I guess, from the Hot Club of Spokane. We were saying, I mean, none of us here in the room are that familiar with the band, so we're kind of p- picking at random, and we're all finding out together what it sounds like. But they play a variety of different styles of music. If you like that, well, come out and see them. If you didn't like that, come out and see them anyway, because they'll play something completely different.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah. it's going to be a really cool show, I think, at the Heartwood Center on July 25th, brought to you by the Library and KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio, which you're listening to right now. Joyce Jowdy is here. She's the Community Engagement and Adult Programming Coordinator from the East Bonner County Library. We're here for just a couple more minutes. There was one more thing you wanted to mention on kind of the long-term upcoming events calendar.
I just want to let people know the great news that the Kalispell Tribe Culture Department will be coming back to do a program at the library on Saturday, August 29th. They'll be sharing with us the Thule weaving traditions and that has been in their culture and their tribe, and we'll be making small Thule mats and little baskets, possibly sampling some traditional foods. So I encourage people, it'll be a 10 to 3 event, so a long program. Everybody loved it last year when we made cedar baskets and learned about harvesting that type of plant. We'll do the same this year, so I encourage people to come out. But in the short term, I encourage you, if you want more information or anything we talked about, to go to our website, ebonnerlibrary.org, or give me a call or email. I can be reached at joyce@ebonnerlibrary.org or 208-263-6930, extension 1103. And I really, really hope you all come out to KRFY and the East Bonner County Library District's A Night of Music, Art, and Community on July 25th, Saturday, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Heartwood Center out on the lawn. It's for everybody in our community. Come get to know your neighbors, play with your friends, meet new people, dance, do art, eat, listen to great music, come together. Whether you've ever been to the library or not, this event is for you.
Well, there you have it. And there you have this show we have. Anything else we need to say in closing, folks, before we turn it over to Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix?
I think we about hit everything.
I think so. Well, perfect timing. Let's see. Tune in tonight. Val and the Queen of Fun is here at 6 o'clock, and I believe we're going to have, I think we got Don Childress coming in before Velma to DJ your 5 to 6 o'clock hour. I'm not mistaken.
That's what I see on the schedule.
Yeah, there you have it. Tomorrow, we're talking to Robin Rawlings, the executive director of the local Habitat for Humanity, on the morning show at 8 o'clock. And then North Idaho News of the Week is on Friday. Okay, here's Bert. No, thanks, Joyce, for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay.
Well, and thank you, Brian, for being here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
yeah.